Are we ready to get started? Stephanie, would you call the meeting to order?
Joyce Still.
Here.
David Happ.
Here.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell.
Here.
Mike Smith.
Here.
Deb Roush.
Here.
Are there any additions to the agenda today? Okay, let's start with citizen input. Is there citizen input today? We do not, it looks like, have a representative from the Mental Health Board today, so there will be no Mental Health Board input. Okay, beginning on page 3, CCDDB board meeting minutes are included from January 18th. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
I move approval.
Second.
Those minutes are approved as presented. And on page
Point
8.
Of order, don't you want to have a vote on that?
Oh, pardon me.
It's all right. It's early in the morning.
Thank you. Okay. Stephanie? It's not a voice vote. It's just all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Boy, I miss one meeting, and I'm already out of practice. I'm not very good at this in the first place, and then I miss one meeting. Okay. And then on page 8, the special study session minutes are included.
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I'm going to try to make some coherent comments here this morning. First of all, I just wanted to briefly address the organizational assessment that our board's administrative staff has been hard at work on. They've been doing this with the help of consultants Alex Campbell and Dennis Smith. This assessment came from the realization that as times change and board's priorities evolve, so do administrative needs, roles, and responsibilities. I want to just point out that we have a very dedicated, a deeply experienced, and talented administrative staff, and I believe they serve both boards very well. But some recommendations from this organizational assessment have already been implemented, with more to come, and they're giving our staff some new tools to capitalize on their already really, really significant strengths and their, as an individual and as team, strengths, and to further the missions of our boards. So I just wanted to say, pass on kudos to Stephanie, Mark, Lynn, Chandra, and to Alex and Dennis for their expertise and guidance through the process. And we'll be hearing more about this undertaking in the near future. Secondly, I briefly wanted to address the FY18 applications. February 10th was the deadline for applications for funding, so busy season is upon us. A list of the applicants is included in the packet under New Business 13C, and program summaries are available online for review. We'll be addressing this later on, too. We've had a number of requests from existing programs for additional funding beyond FY17 levels, as well as some new requests. This funding cycle, it appears that requests may very well exceed funds available, and as there is no anticipated tax revenue increase, it could be interesting. But to all who have applied, thanks for your work. We're going to use our priorities as our guidepost along the way, and we'll do our best. And then just one more thing I'd like to present to the board. The Mental Health Board is kind of in the process of looking at the way they have reviewed funding applications in the past, and they're thinking about, and I think they've already, have they already chosen to do this? They're setting up a team approach. So I didn't know if we as a board wanted to discuss maybe moving the, you know, changing the way we review apps. They it seems like they have a much more complicated task than we do. They have multiple tiers to look at, and they have more board members, more applications overall. I just wanted to say that I, for one, am pretty comfortable with the way we have reviewed apps and considered them in the past. But if there is, if somebody else has another idea, another approach, I'd like to hear about it.
I attended that meeting. The idea of it is, it is very good for the Mental Health Board, as far as I'm concerned, not that they really need my approval. However, they are, and Lynn, you'll have to help me with this. Two people look at the same application. One of them is the primary reviewer, and the other one is kind of a backup that way. And what they're doing is they're presenting those, meaning they talk about them still as a board, but the primary person has researched it more and done a little bit more, and the backup is there as well. So they've got multitudinous applications that they need to look at. We do not have nearly as many, but I sort of like the idea of being able to have some very good information. Not that the apps don't give us information, they absolutely do. But I just thought that it looked like a really good idea for them. I'm not certain that it is a good idea for us, but I'm very happy to see that, you know, they're at least looking at something that's a little bit different and a little more in depth. Just thought I'd put that out there.
Executive Director's report, Lynn.
Well, Deb, you said a lot of what's on my mind, and you said it so well, and it was brief too. So I'm going to try not to cover the same ground. We're looking at 23 applications. Some of them are new, and the difference between the total of the DD related requests for FY18 and the amount of money currently invested in programs is about $250,000. So I've been told by the county that I can't have a prediction right now of an increase in the tax levy, and there are three important events that have to roll out first. Like, there's a potential state property tax freeze that would impact us. There's an election on April 4th about the nursing home, which it would raise the PTEL, right, from 3.5 to 10. Is that? That it could. And so then that...
And one more thing on the statewide property tax freeze. I think you actually talked about applying PTEL statewide, so it really would not impact most of Champaign County because we already have that. Some exceptions to that, but that's my understanding. But things could change.
So that's good. There are maybe two out of the three wait and see items that Tammy gave me, and the first one was actually the Carl property tax settlement, which is, although settled, it's in appeals and it could stay in appeals forever. So we have a little bit of money in the fund that we can't use. So we are going to just budget flat for now. I think this is also a little bit earlier than we usually can give a prediction of what we would be able to spend on agencies. And I'm also looking at our FY18 administrative budget. So, you know, we have already spent less. We are spending less money than we did last year. But I need to be careful because things happen, like suddenly realize that the Comcast bill hasn't come for 3 months and is overdue. So there are things that I don't know about that I'm learning just as we go, and I need to be very careful about promising a whole lot of money from that side into agency allocations. But I'm clear that that's one of the desires of the boards, and so we are working on that, and we talk about it with staff. So anyway, 23 applications. We have already set up. We have a new part of the online system, which is where we're starting the program summaries. And I hope that this works well for us. If you can log in and look at applications, you can also look at what we're doing with the program summaries. And what's set up in them right now is almost all automatically derived from applications, from quarterly reports. And then there are some calculations in there. I tried to go through, it was only 23 of them, so I tried to go through and correct where I found calculation errors or where I knew that the data being pulled were not real. So the shells are set up and the information should be pretty solid. We will go through and make comments and start to analyze what's in the applications in that program summary section. And then in mid-March, we'll pull the program summaries off the system, and then we'll just be working on them as a team. Everybody here has been involved with program summaries in the past, so I expect it to be even more of a team effort this year since we're pretty short-staffed. So anyway.
Lynn, would it be appropriate at this point to talk a little bit about the new amount of dollars that we see for the expo?
There's an application. There's an application by an organization, and it's the Rural Special Ed Co-op. And that application is based on FY17, I think, financials for the expo. So that request is actually pretty reasonable. And it's the event plus a resource directory and managing an online resource guide. So we're working on setting up the resource directory now before any decision has to be made, because it's something that people have said they want in this community. So that's an important project regardless of who ends up maintaining it. If we don't fund the expo through an agency, we would still do these operations out of the office and through consultant contracts. Okay. Yeah, we have a presentation today. I need to stop talking.
Okay, staff reports. Chandra?
Does anyone have any, like, specific questions about my report? Okay. Pretty much things are self-explanatory and outlined, and if there are no further questions, we can keep moving so we can have the presentation.
Stephanie?
I don't have anything to add.
Barbara? She has a report on the 11th Disability Resource Expo.
Thank you. Good morning. You have my report. Basically, the big things are that we are looking for a new venue, and have kind of narrowed it down to the Vineyard Church in Urbana. We have met with them. We have gone over and measured space and done It appears that we will nicely fit into that space. Our steering committee feels that that's a good move, so we're kind of pursuing that. I don't have a firm date yet, but we are looking for changing the expo to a spring event, which would mean it would be probably April of 2018. So we're kind of planning in that direction anyway. The website, we are looking at kind of really making that more user-friendly, more resources than what just is, right now. Our resource book is on there, and it contains all of the vendors, basically the exhibitors that are at the expo. There, each year we get new, some don't come back. So this would be a way to maybe be more inclusive of all of the, resources that are actually out there that serve folks with disabilities. Just a couple of other real brief things that we're involved in. I have been asked by Unity East to come and join them in a day that they're doing focused on disabilities coming up in this April. It's called We All Come in Different Packages. So I've been participating on their planning committee for that. And they're planning to include all students. It's an elementary through, I guess, eighth grade. I'm not sure. But anyway, all students will be involved in that, and it'll, be a great way to just kind of share information for those kids on all types of disabilities. We have a number of folks that are going to be joining us, and the U of I basketball players, some of them will be there, so it should be a neat day. Two other things, we're still involved in some fundraising for the expo. The Bergner's fundraiser is going on right now. If you have not gotten your neat little booklet, the sale is this week, Thursday through Saturday. See me afterwards. Books are just $5. Save some money at Bergner's. And then just wanted to mention, we're also kind of winding down our last Schwann's fundraiser right now. Just to, wanted to mention that over the past, it's not a lot of money that comes in, but over the past probably year and a half, we've raised over $800 through that fundraiser. That fundraiser it's kind of one of those no-brainers. There is absolutely no work involved in it. I mean, there's no manpower. It's setting it up on the computer and, it happens. So that's a really neat thing that we've stumbled into and really, like that it's working for us. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Barbara.
Deborah, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Barbara, do you think that the move to the Vineyard Church is a permanent one, or is it really sort of up in the air?
Well, I think we want to see how it goes the first year, certainly. We did, there are not a lot of resources or options in this community for that, unfortunately, that will accommodate the amount of space that we need. There are probably venues on campus, but then you're dealing with parking issues big time.
Right. Do you think that the place where we've been the last 3 years, would that be available again?
Not that I'm aware of. They've changed the Fluid Event Center over to kind of a restaurant and family event center. So I don't think that's going to probably happen.
All right. Thank you.
I'd love it if it did, but because it was a great venue. Other questions?
I misspoke before. I'm sorry, Barb. The application that was submitted is based on FY16 actuals, not FY17 actuals. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda item 12, financial report. It's presented on page 13 and 14. Do we have a motion to approve it as presented? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it's approved.
So I have a question. I feel very ignorant approving expenditures when I have no idea what the budgeted expenditures are for this period of time. Is there some way that we could receive some indicator that these are on track or these are are exceeding or yes?
Well, so as you know, we don't have a financial person anymore.
Oh, that's right. We haven't
since January 1st, so I'm doing all of it. And mostly that's at home on the weekends. All but right. we have an online tracking system now so that we can all look at it and print reports at your request. So I know from demonstrating it, I know that we were in every column, in every expenditure line, we were about 16 or 17%, which is where we should be after 2 months of the year, except in personnel, and we were at like 4%.
Okay.
Because we're down staff. And then also because those charges are not posted until after paid. These payments go out at the beginning of the month.
Okay.
So I think the only exception is professional services because we paid for the organizational assessment, which is, this is the first time we've done it and we won't be doing it next year.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, item 13, new business. We have a mid-year progress report today on the special initiative program by CTF. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Kyla Chantos. I'm the advocacy coordinator. And I do have to start off with an apology. I do have a PowerPoint presentation on a thumb drive. But because of my daughter's drop-off schedule, I was unable to get here a little early. So I didn't know if you wanted to work with the PowerPoint or without. But we do have the handouts. Okay.
So I'm sharing with Cheryl that we have, I'll take one and you can, that we can print reports from the new online system that will show where we're at, and then we can describe any variants, and those could appear in the board packets. So then everybody will be able to see where we're tracking.
Like a Brat Pack performance, something wrong with the wiring, you know, the microphone's not working.
So So I'll go ahead and begin. excuse me. Again, my name is Kyla Chantos. I'm the Advocacy Center Coordinator for CTF Illinois, and we started an advocacy center that actually opened here very recently, the 13th. But I wanted to give you a brief overview of who we are, what we do, and then what our vision is going into the advocacy center. What we do, this is actually part of our brochure that I'm very proud of because our advocates over in Charleston, Illinois, helped to create the brochure. So they had a lot of input as far as wording and pictures that we used. But what we do, our individuals are self-advocates trying to reduce the isolation of individuals with disabilities while developing the tools and experiences that they need to take greater control of their lives. Our self-advocates also help to speak up for individuals in the community who feel that they have no voice. We lobby the state and local government to bring about change. They also work and they volunteer within the community. Leadership and advocacy, we want our advocates to learn leadership as well as advocacy skills. So they'll attend rallies on disabilities at the state capitol a few times a year. They will communicate with our local and state government leaders on disability rights, discuss their platforms on disability issues that are important to the advocates, and then work to voice their opinion on changes. Excuse me. Our self-advocates also we want them to eventually start to become local experts on disability rights and individual human rights. So eventually what we're looking at, what we'd like for them to do, is to create and lead workshops on individual human rights. We want them to teach or rather train their peers on their human rights and their responsibilities that come along with advocating for themselves. Not only their peers, but with community agencies and hopefully at one point area businesses who not only employ but serve individuals with disabilities. It's not working. Okay. Along with the leadership and advocacy, we're also going to focus on personal goals toward independence. So one of the expectations is that they will come in and they will develop or determine their own personal goals toward independence. we want them, like I said, to develop those personal goals toward independence, and then we'll help. But what we will do is to help them determine the tools and the strategies and the experiences that they're going to need to achieve those goals. So we're kind of the work is completely on them. We sit back and we facilitate or we guide them in the right direction to success. So that's kind of where we're a little different in other advocacy areas, I feel, is that the work is more entirely on them. They make the goals. They decide on the tools that they need, the experiences they want to have, and the strategies that they want to use to help them achieve those goals. Again, we just opened in February. We do have our location. We're located 2009 Round Barn Road. We're in Suite A. We're sort of in the same building complex as the Tappan Leadership Academy and across the street from the Driver's Bureau. So we're down in that area. Our hours are Monday through Friday. We're open from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We received our DHS approval in January of 2017. And again, like I said, we opened our doors on Monday the 13th. What we've been doing to market and to make the community aware of who we are, we've been working with the advocates in Charleston, Illinois, again, to create that beautiful brochure that I am so proud of. We sent brochures and letters to the area special ed directors, their department heads, social workers, their autism resource teachers, sent the brochures hoping that maybe they would keep us in mind during their transition meetings for those exiting seniors. We've also made contacts and sent brochures to a lot of Champaign-Urbana agencies and community resource centers. We've been in communication with TAP, with DSC, Down Syndrome Network, the CU Autism Network. We've been sent letters and brochures to the United Cerebral Palsy of Land of Lincoln, Community Choices, and then Regional Planning. We've done the Down Syndrome Network Buddy Walk. We were there for as a resource table for them. We've been present at the expo, and hopefully the Autism Resource Walk. We intend to be present for that. We've attended a lot of family support meetings, transition planning meetings, and been a representative there. So we've tried very hard to be a part of our community resources and have our face known. And we've gotten a lot of referrals. We've gotten a lot of phone calls of interest. To date, since December, we've done three interviews and screenings for services. So we have one individual that has started. So he's been with us, makes his second week with us. We do have two other individuals that will be starting, but one has a crazy work schedule, so we're trying to figure out how he can come in. And the other one we're looking at medical clearance. She had an injury and surgery, so we're waiting for her to be cleared to come in. But we've had numerous calls of interest and referrals for individuals that are interested in joining the program. So, excuse me. That being said, we have what I passed out to you is our flyer invitation for our open house. We are having our open house Monday, March 6th, from 4 to 6. We'll have hors d'oeuvres, and it's going to be a kind of a come-and-go event. So you can come and take a look at our program, see what we're doing. Hopefully we'll have a lot of those individuals that have expressed interest will come over and be able to take time to sit and chat with us. Okay. Do you have any questions? Yes, sir.
Do you have a geographic area that you're confined to, or are you limited to Champaign-Urbana or the Champaign County, or what is it?
I think at the present time, we're looking at Champaign-Urbana-Savoy area, simply transportation at this time. But I think in the future, when we're up and set, we could look at expanding.
So I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard all the services that you do, and
yes,
then you referred to the program, and I have no frame of reference for what you mean by the program. Do people come in for certain hours of the day? Do you hold nighttime meetings? What do you do? What do you intend to do?
We are only open from 9 to 3. The expectation is that those advocates who join us will commit to at least 12 hours, because we think that, you know, that 12 to 15 hours would be adequate part-time. No, we don't do evening hours. It's more of an alternative day treatment, I guess.
Oh, okay. So is the hope that they will eventually learn the skills and be able to move into community employment or other settings?
Well, we're not focused so much now on vocational. Our supported employment will come, hopefully.
And do you want to explain the vision for the supported employment?
This is Tracy Wavering. She's our regional network director.
Thank you.
For vocational, we're talking more of like as we're working with individuals to advocate for themselves, speak up. We're looking at maybe possibly being paid for public speaking. We've had individuals from our Charleston program who have gone to events, and so it's been like an employment job by them speaking at different events. So that's kind of where our focus will be for vocationally. And you asked about evenings. We are going to be doing some evening events. Training is what we're hoping to do, bring people in, bring families together, and those will be periodic events throughout the year.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
You can blame it on the lowest bidder. problem. You know, we always buy the cheapest stuff, so.
Okay, moving on. 13B, under new business, integration transition successes. Do we have anybody to speak about that today?
Good morning, Annette Becker, DSC. A few months ago, I think I shared that we had kind of redirected the efforts of one employment specialist to doing job development specifically for people in our in-house program. Since then, four people have found jobs in the community. That may not sound like a lot, but two of those people required 35 hours of job coaching, and after a month we've reduced that to 20 hours, but the individuals that we've supported in finding jobs have significant support needs, and so the learning curve on the job, the learning curve getting to the job and developing those natural supports is going to take more time, and we recognize that, and that's why we have one position dedicated specifically to employment for people from our in-house programs. Thank you.
Don't go. Don't go. You have a job developer, then you don't have a job coach that follows up after the after people are placed in the jobs?
We the way we do it, we have the job developer becomes the job coach.
Oh.
We've looked at having a team with a job developer and then a job coach, and what we found is that the relationships that are developed between that job developer and the business and with the individual that they're supporting and finding a job, that to date we found the best way to do that is have the same person do the job development and the job coaching. I actually met with my job development staff yesterday, and that was one of our topics. You know, what are the benefits to splitting that up and having more of a team approach? And we may do that with people who need more job coaching. If they're coming from our in-house programs, we may need to look at that because the job coaching may take several months.
So the what I'm familiar with is the skill set's very different between a job developer and a job coach.
Mm-hmm.
How are you assuring that all of your job developers and your job coaches, the single people, have the skills that span the spectrum?
Well, one of the things we just did was last week we had Griffin and Hammes. I was going to share that in the Employment First update, but I'll jump the gun here. We had Griffin and Hammes come and provide customized employment training, a three-day training. We're also looking at there is a training being provided by APSE. It's a combination of Illinois and Missouri, and it's for systematic instruction. I have one job developer who has been doing this for over 20 years. He's exceptional. And you know, I think for the newer people, we need to provide that training. Some of it you can only gain from experience, right. But, you know, if we can give them the tools to work with, and that's what we've really been focusing on.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, Annette, I just had one more question. That's okay, you don't have to come back. How many job developers / coaches do you currently have?
I just hired one more. I think I have six. One, two, yeah. If I'm counting right, but I haven't had enough coffee yet. Is that it?
Are we going to try it, Dylan? Okay. Dylan and I made an agreement to try this. I'm going to try to repeat so that, because I sit here thinking I know what Dylan has just said, but it might not be true. Right? So we're going to try it.
Okay. My name is Dylan, and I work at Pace.
My name is Dylan Boot, and I work at Pace.
I have 2 successes that I want to share.
I have 2 things that I want to share.
Successes,
yes. Thank you.
The first is one of my consumers recently got a part-time job working at Quack.
The first is a concern, or one of your consumers got a job working part-time at
Quack
Lindsay.
Working 12 to 15 hours a week.
Working 12 to 15 hours a week.
Serving coffee.
Serving coffee.
To the residents.
To the residents.
The other success is another one of my consumers. We recently got a job at Sam's Club.
The other success is that another of my consumers recently got a job at Sam's Club.
As a greeter.
As a
greeter.
Oh, as a greeter. So you guys, everybody understands you better, Dylan, than I even do.
And the same consumer often got driver's license.
And how many consumers also got their driver's license?
The same two. No, just the one at the Sam's Club.
Okay.
I'm not so sure how I feel about them personally, but
I'm not so sure how I feel about that personally.
But it's a success.
But it's
a success.
It's a success.
Can I ask any questions about those?
Do you have any questions about those?
Would it be okay, since I'm already up here, to report on Pokemon news?
To report on program news?
Yeah.
Dylan asks if it's okay, since he's already up here, to report on program news.
Sure. So I wanted to share that over the last couple of months, I've made a lot of progress with a couple of the high schools in rural Champaign County.
I wanted to report that over the last couple of months, I've made a lot of progress with a couple of high schools in rural Champaign County.
For those of you that don't know, part of my, the programming that we offer at Pitt is support groups.
For those of you who don't know, part of the program we operate at PACE is support groups.
One on independent living skills.
Interviewing skills?
Independent
living skills.
And the other on job.
The other is on job readiness.
Over the first year or so, I've had some high school students come. But it's been kind of hard to make it work with their school schedule.
Over the past year, I've had some high school students come, but it's hard to make it work because of the school schedule.
So I've approached four rural schools to offer the same support group services at the school.
So I've approached four rural schools to offer the same support group to students at the schools.
Yeah. And I want to assure the board that I've been very careful and very clear to not duplicate any services that the schools offer.
And I want to assure the board that I've been very careful not to duplicate any services that the school offers.
So, I have commitments from St. Joseph Ogden High School and Heritage High School.
So I have commitments from St. Joseph Ogden High School and
Heritage.
Okay.
Heritage is in the very southeastern corner of Champaign County.
Heritage is in the very southeastern corner of Champaign County.
And my first group at St. Joe was yesterday morning, and I had six students.
The first group started yesterday morning and had six students.
Tomorrow, I have my first group.
Tomorrow I have my first group at Heritage.
So I'm very excited about this new service, and I'm working with Union High School and Rancho High School to hopefully offer services.
So I'm very excited about this new service, and I'm working with Unity High School and Rantoul High School to hopefully offer it there.
So, that's all I have for now. You guys have any questions about the groups?
So that's all I have for now, unless you have questions about the groups.
Jeff?
I look forward to your review of my, is it, what am I doing? Is this interpretation?
Yeah.
It's okay. You let me know later.
Jeff.
Yay, thank you.
That's great, Dylan. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Becca Obachowski with Community Choices, and it's lovely to add to such a long list of successes. I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about, I mentioned it a couple months ago that we were starting a mentoring program with one of the Champaign middle schools, Jefferson Middle School, where three members of our sort of self-advocacy and leadership group are going to be mentoring other students with disabilities at Jefferson Middle School as part of their sort of I think it's actually the two districts, just like as regular parts of that mentoring program. So all three of our self-advocates have now started meeting with their mentees as of this week. I think, well, actually as of tomorrow, all three of them will have met. Two of them have met between this week and last week. So that's going really well. They're all very excited, a little nervous, but they're really kind of thrilled to do that. And the school has been extremely supportive in sort of setting up some supports that'll work for each of those people individually. We also had, two people get jobs, two of whom have been looking for jobs since, like, the summer and the late spring of last year. So they both got hired actually within, like, 2 days of each other, and we're really just absolutely overjoyed that they are going to be starting work here in the next couple weeks. Any questions?
Sorry, you have two people that have been looking for jobs for a long time.
Yes.
Does I don't remember if it's DVR in the state. Is it Doors?
Okay. Yeah.
Does Doors not help?
No, yes, we do have a contract with Doors. They pretty much will contract out with us, so they don't provide a whole lot of on the ground support. But they do, you know, offer some guidance and support here and there.
So this isn't necessarily about your services,
sure.
But do the organizations work together around job development and placement?
Yes. So there's a job developers group that meets, I think, monthly, where individuals from lots of different organizations and from the schools all meet together and talk about those issues. And I believe Doors is included.
So do you share
that.
Leads?
Yes, I don't personally go to those. Okay. So, but okay. I imagine that they do. I know that. Yes, they do.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. Anything else?
No.
Thank you all. Moving on to item C. On page 15, there is the FY 2018 application for funding. We've already touched on the amount that's been requested, and that there's a basically less money in the pot than requests, so we'll be looking at that. Any questions about that? Also in the packet on pages 16 through 38 are the second quarter FY17 agency service activity reports.
I have a question.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Being the new board member, I have lots of things I need to learn. I noticed that most of the agencies report annual targets, but there were several that did not have annual targets. Is there a reason for that?
In some cases, there isn't a target, so the target is zero. But what's going on is that they need to manually enter that each time they create this report, and some did not. So these are the raw reports, and I've requested corrections from a couple, but then in cases like that, it's sometimes it's easier for me just to go in and put the information in, and also to compare with what the targets, those targets that were stated in the application, because sometimes that inadvertently changes. So I think there's actually one where the number served appears in the target instead of, maybe that's not right. One of these needed to be corrected. I think it was... It was the, I think the two CTF. Yeah, the, in the CTF Advocacy Center, when the people's or the service contacts and the community service events were recorded in the annual target field instead of where they were, and so I just changed those. And then in the nursing report, the nursing hours should actually appear in other, and then it's in the comment there, it says 75 individual contacts. That should actually appear under service contacts. So I fixed that too. But for the most part, this batch of reports didn't have a lot of errors. Okay. When I don't usually think about it too much if the annual targets are missing, because I keep them offline and then enter all this data into a chart offline where we have the most heavily verified data.
Okay. Yeah. So all the annual targets that are listed in here, though, are correct? Because some of them seem awfully high.
Which ones are you?
I'm looking at these targets that are over 1,000 people.
They might not be...
Are they hours?
They might not be traditional services. They may be like some of the support networks host big events, and so they're counting heads at events.
Okay.
And the large numbers of people receiving services would be appropriate in the children's, the early childhood programs, because those are often screening activities, so they really can get 1,000 people in a year.
Right. Well, I was just looking at, so one I'm looking at right now is community living.
Okay.
And they have screening contacts at over 1,300. With new clients being only 144, and so those are things that stand out to me, that there's that very large target. But in this particular quarter, it's, you know, multiply that times four, and they're not going to get anywhere close to what their target was.
Well, what they're counting with screening contacts is not, it's a service contact instead of a screening contact.
Okay.
Each agency can define how they want to use the categories, and then this information is not present in these quarterly reports, and so you end up having to go back and look at the application, which obviously you can't do right now.
Okay.
So the explanation is that those are actual service contacts, often with the same people. It's not.
Gotcha.
Some programs will use that as a screening contact measure, and that's only one contact per new person. So that's where you'll see numbers that make maybe look more realistic.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then this is a little then for me a little apples and oranges.
Yes.
With the two things that are done there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think apples and oranges is maybe our most commonly repeated phrase, because so far that's really true. I think we've had. The programs can feature services which are pretty different to groups of people who are pretty different, and approaches that vary. So we've always allowed for that. You define how you're going to use these categories. And then, so when we're just looking at numbers, we've lost that information.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not actually thinking apples and oranges across the agencies or the service providers. I'm thinking apples and oranges, where when you talk about these are all contacts versus new clients that are reported, two different pieces of data.
Right.
Okay.
New clients should appear in under TPC, which is treatment plan client, or non-treatment plan client, and there's quite a bit of variety around the definition of non-treatment plan client.
Okay.
That's even in the office, we might choose to use it differently. So.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item E, documentation of qualifying IDD, page 39 to 41 in the packet.
There's a briefing memorandum in there for discussion. And I just want to say that this is kind of a something I talk about a lot, that I really am concerned about maximizing the dollars that come from Champaign County residents to support our individuals with IDD. And it's my hope that we can keep striving to capture state dollars or other dollars that people might be eligible for or maybe have been eligible for, but it was missed, in order to maximize those dollars again to serve the most need that we have. And that's where this briefing memorandum comes from. So, any comments or discussion about that?
I support you 100%.
Thanks, Pius. I appreciate that.
I'll make a comment.
Absolutely.
So after we started talking about this issue and talking with stakeholders and agency providers about it, I asked the agencies to send me information, client-specific information, about anybody who doesn't neatly fit the current definition, which is described in our eligibility guidelines, and it's DHS DD's definition of for waiver eligibility. So we hopefully by the next meeting we'll have some idea of where those pockets of people are who are being served, maybe based on an assessment of need, or maybe they have been given an exemption for a compelling reason, and we'll also know if there are people who just need to be assessed. But we right now don't know exactly how many people are in each category, and therefore if there's a need to look at funding guidelines or to create some alternative approach for people who don't meet the guidelines. We thought it was important because of state funding, even though, you know, LIGAS is coming to an end, there is an obligation for the state to continue to give people awards at a reasonable pace and to continue serving people who are in crisis and emergency. So there are many, many unserved people or underserved people, and we don't want to lose track of them just because we have additional local dollars to help people. So.
I have another question. Sorry, this is the last one, I think. Who serves people with traumatic brain injury? Nobody.
TBI, she's asking about who serves people with traumatic brain injury. There used to be a separate pot of money for that. We do find people with TBIs eligible for DD services if it's prior to 21. And I think for service providers, that can sometimes require a lot of creativity, okay, because the issues are very different. But a person whose TBI has suffered after 21 fails the DD criteria.
And I actually remember quite a few at DSC years ago that had TBI. Okay.
Okay, item F, LIGAS, PUNS, and Champaign County waiver. Recipients data is on pages 42 to 51, included for information or comment.
So you've seen some of that information before. I just wanted to put it in one place as a sort of an update as you're about to make decisions about money.
I just had the opportunity to attend the ARC Leadership Conference. And Ronnie Cohn, the LIGAS court monitor, was there. And she repeated over and over again, because there was a statement you made that LIGAS is coming to an end. And she said emphatically, it is not coming to an end. That's a misstatement that's out there. What is happening is the requirement for those benchmarks is coming to an end. LIGAS is not coming to an end. It will be around for a very, very long time, as will the federal court monitor. They do have to make this what are they calling it, annual adequate progress, and the attorneys are now in discussion about what that is going to be defined as. But the court monitor is not going away. Ligas is not ending. So I think we just have to be careful how we speak about it. It's just that benchmark part of it is ending. Okay, thanks.
Okay, under old business, an employment first update.
Hi, this is Becca again from Community Choices. So not a ton of updates. One thing that we were pretty excited about was we had originally set up to, planned to do a training with the Virginia Theater as one of our businesses that we were training with our LEAP certification. And they were like, well, actually, let's hold off. And they decided to do the entire Champaign Park District instead. So we're going to be able to sit down with, I think, about 25 of their managers and HR people. I think that's in the next week or two, so we're pretty excited about that. And I know Annette mentioned it already, but we did have the Griffin and Hammes training.
Yes, a few more details about that. Three local service providers had representation there. We had service providers from outside Champaign-Urbana. The schools were well represented, and we had parent representation as well. And again, it was just outstanding information, and hopefully we can repeat it again in the future.
Okay, meeting schedules are included at the back of the packet on pages 52 and 53 for information. And we have our handy-dandy Ligas Family Advocate Program acronym sheet at the back. That's very helpful as the acronyms evolve. Do we have any board announcements? Motion to adjourn.
Just one second. No, it's all right. Before you adjourn, we have listed in the new applications probably some repeats from last year, and I remember that we had a couple of programs from last year who were pilot programs, and I wanted to know how we're going about to make an evaluation as to whether or not we would continue those, and I think it needs to be done separate from just taking a look at their applications. So can you in some manner give us a report, a status of what those pilot programs were to have done and what they got done and so forth, so that we can judge whether or not they are to continue.
So this month's presentation was one of those, and then last month's presentation was the other one, the IAMC Building Communities, and they both have a second quarter service activity report here. So I think maybe you would like to see an evaluation of all the second quarter reports. Is that what I'm of, related to those two programs?
Related to those two programs, I would like to see what they said they would do, mm-hmm. and did they do it? That's the question. And I think that, you know, you're making evaluations and getting reports every month or every quarter. Mm-hmm. And I think a report telling us what happened with those pilot programs, did they do what they said they were going to do? For instance, I don't want to make it sound like picking on anyone, but if they said they'd serve 50 people and they only served 12, mm-hmm. I would like to know that, okay?
Do you want that in an environment outside of the program summaries or to be included in the program summaries?
I don't care about that. I just like it in the monthly stuff so we can read it and know. That's all I care.
So would it maybe in the packet itself for next month?
Yes, please. Okay. Before we get to the point of trying to make a decision about next year's programs, we need to know whether those programs fulfill what we ask.
Good point. Thanks, Mike. So, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all for coming today.